All right. Well, good morning, and God bless each of you. I would like to just try to get started here as soon as I can. We have a lot of things to cover here. But as I had said, I would like to read part of a writing that I read, my wife and I read, probably 20 years ago, and it was just a tremendous blessing for us in our child training. Actually, it may have been more like 24 years ago. And I'm just going to be reading that, and I'm not sure if I'll have time to read all of it. I'm going to try. I already covered some of the principles here, but I'm going to begin reading on here, going and just simply reading it. I want you to hear, and I also want to make it available for anyone that wants to call us and give us a name and address to send them this pamphlet or this writing. It has been a real blessing for us as a family, my wife and I, in looking at training children. So why don't we pray before we go into this? Father, I just thank you and praise you for your grace and love to us this morning. Thank you for providing for us and caring for us. Thank you for a new day. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you boldly, to the throne of grace. And we recognize and acknowledge this morning again that it's only through the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we can do this. I thank and praise you, Lord. I pray that as we go through this study this morning again, that you might enlighten our hearts and illuminate our understanding of your word and what your heart is as a Father in heaven that looks down upon us as your children and has a desire for us to raise up a godly family for you. I pray for your guidance and direction, Father. Just pray for your grace now as we go through this study this morning. Father, direct us and guide our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless each one of you that has called in this morning. It's different at times. You know, I have preached in many different places, and sometimes you preach to people that, you know, you look out over the audience and there are very few that you know. But most times you know some of the people and you know who you're speaking to. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but you know, that's not really the issue. The issue is that we would hear the truth. And so, by God's grace, we want to do that this morning. Again, I'm going to be reading here from a writing called Under Loving Command that my wife and I have really learned to appreciate through the years. I'm going to begin reading here. We were talking about how that if we have true godly love for our children, it will pay the price for denying ourselves and disciplining our children properly. This morning I'd like to continue on here and start sharing here about how that a rod of love delivers from hostility. And like I said, I'm just going to read here. There's a lot of material to cover here. This restoration of fellowship is the blessing of the rod. And I'm going to be quoting here as the wife of this family wrote this and wrote of their experiences. There's a quote on the end by her husband. I want to read that too. But this was her experience. This is her testimony. This restoration of fellowship is the blessing of the rod. After it is used, after we have chastened, we can completely forget the incident and enjoy the fellowship restored between parent and child. If we continue to nag or scold, we may develop a prolonged alienation or hostility towards the child because he has not been corrected and taught to obey. Such nagging on our part only sends a message of fear and punishment rather than of loving attention. Anger and hostility toward the child is the result of our own disobedience when we parents fail to chasten as God commanded us, or from our delay in obeying until we become frustrated with the child's behavior. That delay in disobedience opens up the dangerous possibility that our frustration will erupt as abusive words or actions toward the child who is simply responding to our inconsistent actions and words. When the rod is used inconsistently for the slightest disobedience, it is never associated with anger, displeasure, or rejection. because the parent chastens the child with a patient, loving spirit in obedience to God. No matter the nature or the circumstance of the offense, the correction is always the same because the wrongdoing is always one of disobedience. This is the rod of correction which brings hope. Children soon understand that the rod is saturated with our love and they receive it as loving training for their benefit. The message is not one of traumatic judgmental act of punishment or for an evil deed, nor a reaction from the parent to get even or to strike out in anger with an emotional outburst of scolding or punishment for a list of uncorrected acts. Consistent, gentle training with loving chastening is quickly understood as a caring act. As I was busy getting breakfast one morning, I asked our daughter to put on her shoes and socks. I am sure she intended to obey me, but she got busy playing and forgot. I soon told her to go in and lie across the footstool because she did not obey me and I must correct her. I was busy in the kitchen and failed to go in immediately as I should have done. When I did, there she was lying on her tummy across the footstool, waiting for her correction, singing and swinging her feet. She was waiting in complete rest. She accepted the switch as an inevitable result of disobedience. Each one of our children sweetly receives the switch. They realize we use it to train them because we love them. And afterward, oh, how free we are to show them our affection. I must add another word in relation to this incident. As I corrected my daughter and I had to judge myself, because I had done the very thing for which I was chastening her. I also had not obeyed immediately. I was disobedient in delaying the correction. When I saw her sweetly waiting for me, my heart was struck again with my responsibility to hear and obey God in the same way I was training my children to hear and obey. Is every child different? A comment we hear so often is, but every child is different and should be dealt with differently. We agree that every child is different. We have as much variety of personality and temperament in our four children as any of you will find, but they all have one thing in common. They were all born with a self-centered nature, and each one has required the rod to bring him to a place of submission. Nowhere in Scripture does the Lord qualify his command on the basis of personality. Let me share two personal illustrations of this. Our youngest boy has a strong temper. It was revealed long before he could talk. When we crossed his will by saying no to him, he would not directly disobey. Instead, he would throw himself on the floor and kick and scream. At first, I would go over, pick him up, and say no, no, and set him on my lap to make him hush. I realized, however, that though I relieved the situation for the time, I was not training him to live outside himself. The next time he was disappointed by a no, threw himself down and screamed, I spanked him on his bottom right during the middle of his tantrum. Then I went to a chair, set him on my lap, made him hush, and loved and comforted him. He came to the place that when his will was crossed, he would throw himself down, begin to scream, and right in the middle of it, catch himself. By the time I got to him with the switch, he was up, walking around, busying himself as though everything were fine. Of course, he still got his switch because he had to learn to accept my will immediately. This is what he has learned to do, overcoming tantrums. Will this training break his spirit? No, only his self-will. That will, which is wholly centered in self, will be broken. This is the part that requires faith. I believe that as I obey the Lord in this, he will teach our son to subject his will to our loving authority and still develop his personality to the fullest. In fact, it is the disciplined spirit that is free to blossom to its fullest because it is not thrown by circumstances. It is the pruned vine that flourishes and bears the sweetest fruit. In contrast, our youngest boy, who is usually sensitive and emotional, he has been this way since he was an infant. When he was very young, he would often burst into tears when we asked him to do something he did not want to do. He would burst into tears at the slightest provocation. The tears came with any new situation, happy or sad. We would withhold correction, excusing him on the basis of his sensitivity. Things got worse instead of better, because he would escape into his tears when he did not want to obey. He was showing more insecurity all the time. I don't believe he did this consciously, but we, in a sense, were training him to give in to his emotions. We reasoned that if we used the rod on him, it would only deepen the problem. The Lord began to convict us about the fact that we were not being obedient to his word and trusting him for the result. Finally, one evening during our family Bible reading time, Daddy asked our son to do something he did not want to do, with the usual result, tears. We tried to comfort and coax him, but it only brought on more tears. That night, he went to bed without being brought to the place of obedience. As his dad and I sat there and talked about it, our convictions grew that we were the ones who were not obedient, and that we had to begin to obey immediately for our son's sake. So Daddy went into his room, put him on his lap, and told him that we didn't have peace about what happened. He confessed to our son that we had not been obedient to the Lord, who wanted us to be sure that our son obeyed. Daddy told him that he would have to correct him. So he spanked him, held him in his arms, and comforted him. Had him do the thing that he asked him to do in the first place, then put him back to bed. We know our son went to sleep that night more secure in Daddy's love. He began to see our obedience, and it caused his heart to rest. He needed to see that we were saying yes to God and assuming the responsibility to correct his disobedience. This was a real turning point for both our son and us. After that, the Lord gave us the grace to use the rod whenever our son did not obey. He became much more secure and settled and began to learn to live above his emotions. His temperament is the same, and he is just as sensitive as ever, but he is learning that issues are more important than his emotions. Before, he evaluated everything by his feelings. When he learned not to be controlled by his emotions, he became much more interested in others and less involved with himself. I have often thought, with this tendency to be so sensitive, how insecure he would be today if we had continued to cater to his fears and our own lack of faith. Now, this sensitivity shows in his gift for positive creativity and benefits all of us. That evening brought another turning point in our son's life. He began to open his heart to the Lord in a new way. It was as though he had been holding back that one area of his heart, and when he discovered that he had to give it up, he was free. His prayers were much more real. He became more attentive and interested in family devotions, and ever since, I have never known him to feel anything but warmth and love toward the Lord. That's a blessing reading that and just hearing what these people experienced in this. I'm going to continue on here. God is training us is the next subject. Shouldn't our relationship to our children be a picture of our Heavenly Father's relationship to us? He is our Lord, and we, at this point in our lives, are the Lord of our children. This necessarily places a responsibility on us to act on the same loving consistency toward our children as our Heavenly Father does toward us. God is training me as His child, even as I train mine. His training teaches me to be very sensitive to what is truly for the good of the child. Tyranny has no place in training. I'll repeat that. Tyranny has no place in training. When my father chastens me, it is an action toward me for my good, not an angry reaction or rejection. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Deuteronomy 5:29. For they, the earthly fathers, indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12:10. To illustrate, let us suppose that my child has just spoken rudely to me or to his brother. My natural impulse is to feel personally offended and to react in a similarly rude way by chiding and scolding him. But love for the child and obedience to God demand that I take up the rod and chasten patiently, set the child on my lap, and lovingly teach him that he must always speak in a loving way. This is the action of love for the good of the child. Again, suppose my child wants something very much that may not be best for him. To give in to his desire is to indulge myself. I must, for the good of the child, take the time and trouble to train him to receive his disappointment with an accepting attitude, trusting in his parents' love for him, believing that they have made the decision that is best for him. Through this, he will learn to trust God's will as best for him. If we are faithful to train the child to bring his will into submission to ours, I believe and have seen that the child will transfer that submission to God as he grows older. But if he takes our word lightly, he will take God's word lightly. And I want to add to this here. This is very true. I have experienced that very much. A child being trained to respond properly to us as parents will readily do that to the Lord at an older age when they give their lives to the Lord. Very true. All right, inconsistent use of the rod is not training. To be consistent is so important What can be more frustrating to a child than to never know quite what to expect from us? It is our inconsistency as parents that provokes and discourages our children. One day we feel stern and say no to something. The next day we feel indifferent and preoccupied. And in order to save ourselves the inconvenience, we allow them to go ahead or we overlook little disobediences. When we operate with the rod in this way, it becomes something other than training. It is brute force to make the child cater to our moods. I believe this kind of bullying strengthens a child's resistance to authority. He is provoked to anger, becomes discouraged, and rebels. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged, Colossians 3:21. We as parents must be obedient to follow through each time we speak, but it takes diligence. This is why we cannot possibly do it in our own strength or on the strength of any motive other than obedience to God. The motive to have nice, well-behaved children will not carry us. For example, one day I may have lots of initiation and no other distractions. I may tell my child to come here. It is easy now to stop what I'm doing in order to do what is necessary to train him if he disobeys. But the next day, I may be settled comfortably in a chair nursing my baby when I tell my child, come here, please. If he disobeys, the motive to have nice, well-behaved children is not enough now. It is so much easier to repeat what I said a little sharply, but then I have trained the child to know that I do not really mean what I say the first time. No, it takes his grace to say, Lord, you have told me to train my children. If I sit here in this chair, I will be disobeying you. Please help me to obey you by training my children to obey. He then gives me grace to get up out of the chair, put the baby down, take up the switch, use it patiently, take my child on my lap and comfort him. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. It is an act of faith. Many people have said, I've tried spanking and it just makes matters worse. It doesn't work. To begin to operate on the premises of I'll try it won't work. To train our children in love with the rod is God's command. It is an act of faith to step out on his promise to fulfill his will in us, strengthened by him. Faith will not give up because its object is obedience to God and his word, not to ourselves or some workable principles. When our first child was very small and began to show his selfish will, it was difficult to begin to train her with a switch. We had an idea what the results might be, but God made it clear to us that we were to trust him and obey. Many well-meaning people, some of them religious leaders, sought to discourage us in using the rod, saying the scriptures were not literal in the use of the word rod. They said that there are other forms of discipline. Words could be rods. What could be more cruel than to beat a child with words? They advocated reasoning and redirecting. We were told our daughter might grow up with all kinds of psychological problems. But God give us the grace to act in faith that his word is true. Our daughter will soon be a teenager, and we can say, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He has a shield. He is a shield to all who trust in him. She is a constant blessing and pleasure to us in every way. Many of the so-called teenage attitudes were dealt with at the age of 10 or 11. She is outgoing and interested in others. Most important of all, she loves God and his word, and her spiritual growth is as evident as her physical growth. Her own basic relationship with us has been established. We are still training her. Nothing has changed. The rod is still the loving instrument of training for her, and she welcomes it as readily as she did at 2. Of course, there will come a time when the rod for her is laid aside, and God alone will continue to train her with his own loving rod, but not yet. Particularly during these very emotional teenage years, it is a blessed instrument of training to deliver us from any need or hostility toward her, or from her toward us. With her heart so sensitive to the Lord, there is immediate repentance and sweet confession. Furthermore, our Lord leads both her and us, her parents, to a mutual understanding and acceptance of decisions we must make together. Freedom to grow. When we are training our children to obey, we are able to build their lives without being hindered by antagonism. We can help each child grow in the knowledge of God, and the entire family can enjoy a home filled with love, fun, and humor, rejoicing in all the work of God in our lives day by day. There is a wonderful freedom in our relationship as we grow together spiritually. We are able to live honestly and openly before our children as examples of obedience, as examples of dependence on God. And I will walk at liberty for I seek your precepts, Psalms 119:45, training them to receive God's direct guidance. Discovering the excitement of hearing God speak through His Word begins very early. Our regular family time around the breakfast table when Daddy reads the Bible and we discuss it together as a family is a source of growth and strength to us all. But as our children grow older, it becomes increasingly important that they get their guidance and help directly from the Lord. Therefore, they need a special time of training in feeding themselves from God's Word. They are learning to study His Word in their own individual quiet time. What blessings we have received as parents as Dad has taken time for our older boy 2 mornings a week before work and school to talk over the portions of Scripture they have been studying. With Dad's undivided attention, our son is able to talk about all that's on his heart. He has been able to bring out his questions and face them in the light of the Scripture with his dad. Our older daughter and I receive the same blessing as we take time in the morning together, talking over our Bible studies and all the new experiences that growing into a young woman brings. These are wonderful and exciting days for our children. The training process is often painful and unpleasant and requires constant commitment, but the rewards are glorious. The under-chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after all, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, or as King James says, have been exercised thereby. Hebrews 12:11. A word of encouragement. There have been times when I have felt totally discouraged and defeated in training my children, until I thought there was no hope, it's too late. I lost too much ground, and there is no recovery. We went through a soul-wrecking experience concerning our youngest daughter when she was around 3 years old. We were not being obedient to the Lord in her training. It was very involved, and I'm not sure how to explain it except to say we were relying on ourselves and on our own reasoning, often rationalizing that we did not need to spank her. In many ways, we were afraid of her. We disciplined her just enough to maintain order, but we were not training her to truly obey. We allowed her to maintain subtle control over us with an unsubmitted will. We had a whole list of excuses why we were not obeying the Lord in this, but the Lord in His grace wouldn't give us peace. He brought us more and more under conviction about it until we were miserable. I kept telling the Lord, I can't, I just can't do it, and He would answer, I know you can't, of course not, you never could. I would say, I can't, but keep struggling and trying. Finally, I literally spent one entire night in tears telling the Lord that I was at the end of myself and that if He wanted my children trained, He would have to do it. The next morning, after a sleepless night, when the first occasion arose, I took the switch in hand and said, okay, Lord, you do it. And He did. Because I had trained my daughter to be insensitive to my voice, I had to begin all over again to train her to listen. I spoke once and followed through with the switch. Each time as she sat on my lap and I loved and comforted her, I would repeat the words, listen to my voice and obey. At lunchtime that day, after many incidents of correction, she sat down to eat and bowed her little head to pray and thank the Lord for the food. Often before, she had prayed, Lord, teach me to obey. But today she prayed, dear Lord, thank you that I will obey. She stressed the will as though she were saying, thank you, Lord, that Mommy is finally obeying you by making me obey. So I'm glad I'm not left to myself. In the days that followed, a beautiful transformation took place. She took on new sparkle, became interested in others, and began to live outside of herself. And what an inexpressible pleasure she became to her mommy and daddy and brothers and sisters. God meets us right where we are. If these principles are new to you and you already have trained children, know that God will be very gracious to you. It is not too late. In His strength, you can begin now to obey Him in what He has revealed to you. Your children will soon learn that because you love them, you are training them to obey. As you step out in faith, you will see that God is doing His work in you and in them. When I asked my wife to write these experiences, I felt that I was united with her in her commitment to train the children in obedience to the Lord. However, I had not faced the struggle to become obedient as a father. I took pride in their development without paying the price of comforting their will. For a long time, my wife's obedience was a substitute for my own, and I continually resisted giving clear, thoughtful commands to the children, especially if I thought it might go against their will. I knew that to confront them with a command that would force me to submit my will to God. I only used the rod for selected things and for disobedience which my wife saw and pointed out to me, but which I often excused inwardly and rationalized away. This divided spirit frustrated much of the training of my wife. To avoid my responsibilities, I failed to receive the benefit of God's chastening and training through the spiritual struggle to obey in training my children. I also missed giving the children the trust and hope that they need in their father in order for me to reveal to them God's fatherhood. But God is a sovereign Father. He has met me with difficult struggles and severe chastening, commanding me to see the need to judge myself and turn my attention from my own self-interest. He has taught me to redirect my work and the use of my time to consider what commands God has given me to give to my children, and to come under these commands myself. Therefore, each time I command or chasten the children, it is to be my own confession and agreement with God's sovereign right to command me to obey for the good of my children and their children to follow. I share this as a warning to every father who reads our testimony. It is a fearful thing to use the rod without giving our children holy and righteous commands. It is a fearful thing to judge our children without judging ourselves, for they are God's children as well, and we must all come under His righteous fatherhood. Well, that's the end of this this article here. I just felt I wanted to share it. I have so treasured it, and it has been a tremendous help to us. There are so many truths brought out here, and I know that I didn't just go into the Word of God this morning and go down scripture after scripture, but I wanted to share this testimony that these people left, and I want to also give you listeners the opportunity, if you want this pamphlet, I'll be glad to send it to you. All you need to do is call me, and I will give you the, I will send it to you. I will get a bunch of them in and send them. We've gotten them in different times and gave them to people, and we're willing to do that for any of you listeners. The name of the pamphlet is Under Loving Command, and it's written by an Al and Pat Fabrizio. I'm not exactly sure of how to pronounce that last name. But I want to give you that opportunity, so I'll give you my cell phone number, and you can call if you're interested in getting a copy of this, or you can call and leave your name and address and where we can send it to. So my cell phone number is 707-606-6357. That's 707-606-6357. It probably would be best if you'd wait till next week. We're traveling. Unless you call me within the next few minutes, we're going to be up in Canada, and probably within a few hours we'll be in Canada, and everything would be long distance, roaming. So if you don't call within the next hour or two, wait till next week, if you would, please, probably after Tuesday, to call and give me your phone number and address. God bless each one of you. Thank you for listening in. May God be with you, and I'll turn the time over to our moderator.
Yeah, this is Mose. I very much appreciated the message this morning, the reading of that testimony, and just such a blessing. And it really convicted me also of some of the failures that I've had in the past in raising children, and have I really gone to that child and confessed it? And I, even today I see some manifestations of my failure in his life. And I would just like to, be free and open. And I do purpose to go back to him and make sure that I've thoroughly confessed that and trust that it will bring results to God's honor and God's glory, because that's what matters.
Amen. And I just want to leave this. I know that I look at my own feelings, and going through this again in this study has just convicted me so much again of the laxness with, I'm 53 years old now, and it's a little bit hard to get out of that easy chair than it was when I was, that it was 20 years ago. And I it's so easy to neglect it when you're busy doing something or you're relaxing in your chair, and you sense that disobedience, to just deal with it right away. And I so appreciated what this this testimony, how these people saw that the whole motive behind training was not just that they wanted these nice, obedient children, but that they wanted to obey God and raise up these children with an example of obedience to God. What a foundation! That's not a selfish motive for our for the training up of our children. That was what really encouraged me.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mose, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.